evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Wait, were you asking like the general audience how they were? Were you asking me? Because I just assumed that you were asking me.
I was asking you, but then I was going to ask the lovely guests we have in the studio tonight. So we'll get to that. I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And in studio, we're excited. We're joined by three very, very lovely ladies.
With awesome shoes.
That's true. They really do have awesome shoes. One of them has a really awesome corset, too. I don't want to say that. I thought it would be rude to say that in front of them. But here on the radio, it's okay.
Well, yeah, because, you know, nobody's listening. And it's just you and me.
I whispered, so nobody knew.
Silly.
We have three lovely ladies from Sanctuary LAX that are here to discuss. Would you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Goddess Genesis.
Mistress Cyan.
I'm Mistress Ashley Rains.
Excellent. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
We're so excited.
Yeah, we're excited too.
Well, first, do we have any business, you and I? Do we have any business? Is there something we were supposed to talk about?
I can give you my business. But
what's your business? Now I'm interested.
So are we.
Anything that I don't know already?
No, it's just talking about my business down there. I don't know. I was not being okay. No, I'm not being cute right now.
Really weird timing.
You know what?
The worst timing of any person I've ever met in my entire life.
No, please continue.
Yes, we want to hear this.
Oh my God.
Doors opened. Walk through it. No. So how's your business doing down there?
My business is okay.
It's okay?
Now it's really shy.
It's shy business?
Now it's getting a little shy.
Really? Because knowing you, when you're being humiliated in such a manner, it becomes particularly wet.
You have a really big microphone.
She does.
I like your big microphone.
It's a big black microphone.
That no. I can hide behind. That we often joke is a big black penis.
Yeah. I can see that. Puerto Rican.
Women speaks from experience. So are you sufficiently embarrassed?
I'm good on that front.
I'm good. Sure. You're the one. We're bringing it up.
Sorry.
Bringing up the downtown, so we can talk about it. It's cool. You got to open up and let us know.
Sorry. She actually didn't have much to say about downtown.
No, she really didn't.
I really just wanted to bring it up.
She pretty much recoiled immediately.
But for what? She brought it up to what end? Just to bring it up? Just so that we randomly are talking about her vagina for no particular reason?
Oh, man.
I was hoping for something a little more exciting.
Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing excited going on with my business right now.
Awesome.
Her business has no business.
There's that. Her business has no business. That's awesome.
You're dealing with professionals here. We know about these things.
They do, which is a fantastic segue.
And nothing shocks us. So really, please, open up. We can help you.
We're here for you.
It's therapy.
Yeah.
This is awesome. All right. So our topic for the evening actually is lifestyle dominance versus professional dominance. And if I'm correct, all three of you are pro-doms, correct?
Right.
Correct.
Well, this is awesome because I know one pro-dom. One. Mistress Melissa, that's the only one I know.
Oh, she rocks.
So, I love her to death. Yes. She's my mentor. I love her so much, but she's awesome. The only one I know. So, and I know she also works at Sanctuary.
Yes.
So it was one of those things where awesome, we can have others on and be like, what do you do?
What is this magical world?
So back when I was in college and I read Cosmo, there was this article about this girl in college who in New York, to get her way through school, worked as a pro. And I was like, dude, I'm working at fucking Disneyland. That shit sucks. I'm not making that kind of dough. I mean, whatever she was making, maybe $150 an hour. I don't care. I was like, but I'm making $9.75 an hour, man, and I'm feeling rich at Disneyland. I'm not feeling good in my private school with all my little rich friends. So it's one of those. But I don't think I could do that. That seems,
I don't know.
It's kind of like skills.
It's like Disneyland.
It's like
and only most a lot people more at Disneyland yeah. are kinky.
Oh yeah,
very kinky.
It's yeah. true.
We have lots of people we know. I'm not giving names.
Well, we dress up, too, is all I'm saying.
Well, there's a FetLife group for people that, like, are kinksters that go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
See, there you go. Yeah.
It's a thing. Yeah.
It's a thing.
So how long have you ladies been doing this?
A lifetime. You go. Let's see. I'm on a good decade right now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
No, and no burnout?
No, it flies by.
Cool.
Yeah.
And let's see, mine is, let's see if I can remember back that far. I guess it's about 16 years, 17 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Most people don't stay in a profession, you know, for that long unless they're, you know, stupid like us.
Right. I'm working on 10 as well.
There's no,
in fact, I've known Ashley for 10 years. I've known Cyan for 10 years.
Yeah. Look at that.
And Melissa for 10 years.
What were you attracted to it as a profession because you yourselves were kinky?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of got roped in.
Literally?
I did, literally. I went for a job interview as a receptionist.
Oh, I remember that. Too.
And
I remember that day.
Yeah, there was no mention of it being a dungeon. I kind of found that out when I got there.
Was it because it was the setup was different then than it is now? Because right now it's a very nice, it just looks like a foyer. It could be an office.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot different.
Except for the cage in the front office.
Yeah, we have a cage.
Maybe there's metal workers. Maybe it's for a union.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the chateau, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I remember those. I remember that. I remember when you came in.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, you were like.
The look of confusion on my face, yes.
You weren't just answering phones anymore?
I did answer phones for 2 years.
Okay.
And then. I don't know. You just get sucked in.
You did. And James, whoever came in, whether they're coming in for a receptionist or to come and work there like I was, he's like, yeah, we're going to be doing video movies. I could use you. I can use you in a video. Remember that?
Oh, how could I forget?
Yeah. Yeah. He told you were going to be in a video. She hasn't been in one of his videos to this day.
I'm still waiting for that video.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. It could happen.
Man of his word.
I'm an optimist.
So, when you transitioned, I mean, was it one of those did you ask or were you asked?
Well, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you right now. What happens is when you're the desk girl, everybody wants to play with you.
Okay.
And
forbidden fruit?
Absolutely. Oh, wow. And after a while, I thought, geez, this could be, you know, really lucrative.
And well, you saw how much money I was making.
Well, yeah, but that goes without saying, Jen. We all know how fabulous she was. She's fabulous.
I'm greedy. I will take anything.
Yeah, anything. Within reason.
Within
reason. Yeah.
You can't tell me.
Yeah, so I just, and I had learned over the years here and there, you know, just naturally you fall into that type of play. So, and I did. I made a ton of money. As soon as I came off that desk, it was like the gates of hell had opened.
Wow.
You know, it was just a crazy, it was definitely worth it. And it just was a lot of fun, and I just kept going.
Okay.
You know, so, but.
And we both ended up at Cyan's door for more training and mentoring. Remember, like, when we started working at Sanctuary, and she was mentoring us and doing things, and we'd come out. Cyan, how do you use the tens? How does this thing go on?
It was the home for wayward children.
You all become like you're from Brooklyn? Is that a natural thing when you're asking questions?
Yeah, it's like, well, how does this work? I'm gonna stick it on this guy's penis. I know.
Yeah.
What in goes in?
As he's freaking out.
Yeah, Cyan, I hear screaming.
That's when you know.
From outdoors.
Full sensory deprivation. They don't need to know what's going on. Six women are on them.
No. It's funny.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Mr. Cyan, you own Sanctuary.
Yeah, and Genesis as well.
Oh, wow.
There were partners in it. We have it's incorporated, so we have a board of directors and so on.
Oh.
And I had a dungeon called Sanctuary in Reseda for 12 years. And about 2.5 years ago, the opportunity came up to open the new sanctuary in near LAX. So the sanctuary's had a good, I guess now, 14 years we've been around.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, number one, I love women-owned businesses. That's like a huge thing for me. And even more so, like in this industry. You just don't see a lot of kind of women bosses.
Right. We're actually, well, Hillary owns the Dominion, but prior to that, it was, you know, the Chateau was run by James, Passive Arts by John, and before Hillary owned the Dominion, that was also run by a lady. So it's very rare. It really is, but I think a woman should run the professional business that normally they've worked. They've either worked independently or they've worked in a dungeon, so they have the experience and they know what it's like for the girls who are coming in on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, not to mention, as funny as it was, is the men that have owned some of these dungeons that have pro doms working, stuff like that, were submissive men. So it's kind of ironic, too. It's just like really hard to be working for someone who's a submissive.
That's got to be, I mean, it's hard enough to organize femdoms as it is. It's like herding cats. I couldn't imagine if you were a submissive man.
That's the best explanation I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. No,
I deal with a lot of female dominance because most of the groups that I'm a member of are that, and I'm either a leader in one of them, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. And it's like, fucking herding cats.
I know your pain. Yes, I do. It is like herding cats, and we will run DomCon together, and there's these, you know, really enigmatic women. They're very strong. They're from all over the world, and you're like, okay, how do I dom them without them knowing I have to dom them?
We know, Jen. We know.
They're very vibrant and colorful, and it's like, I need you over here. Is that okay?
If it pleases you.
If it pleases you. And they're like, oh, sure. Yeah. So no, I know.
It's all in the wording, right?
It is.
It's that sexy whisper.
Yes. I have something to show you. Come here.
When they're curious, that's always our Achilles heel, isn't it? Curiosity.
Yep.
What's your favorite thing about kink in general?
Ah, oh, that's so hard.
I know. I always ask this question. Everybody hates it.
And then when someone asks you that question,
I have an answer, though.
Ha!
Because I asked the question, I have an answer now.
It's ever evolving.
Oh, Jesus. So
you have like this one thing that kind of, oh, I'm kind of into that. And it's like safe. Like my thing was like, I like being tied up and spanked. And then pretty soon, ooh, knife play sounds good. Ooh, fire. Oh, I love electrical. It just keeps evolving. It's like a drug for me. I want more and more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I really enjoy the challenge of that moment when they give up their power. Mm-hmm. When you see that happen, that surrender is my favorite moment. I mean, you know, aside from this implement or that implement, you know, if we want to get really deep with it, that would have to be my favorite part of kink.
Yeah.
Watching that happen.
What's it for you, Cyan?
For me, it's the freedom to do the things we want to do. Mm-hmm. And I've never been a follower. I'm kind of, I guess most people will say I'm a control freak. So I've never been really good at following directions from people. So being able to do what I want to do and enjoy doing it, and that power exchange is, like Ashley was saying, is a huge turn on. To have someone give you that gift of surrender and submission is very empowering, and it's a feeling that for the submissive that's going to be going into this subspace, which is a very euphoric feel that can stay with them for days, you know, you're in control of that. You're bringing them to a place that they can't get to. And to me, that gives something that's, it never gets old. You mentioned burnout earlier, and I've never really experienced that because I made a commitment a long time ago not to do anything I didn't want to do and not to have to do it for the money or anything else, but to do it for the sheer sake of enjoying what I do. And I've been very fortunate enough to be able to have done that for the last however long many years it's been.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it's true. I never really thought about that moment when they give up power, but yeah, that's a really...
Yeah, it's cathartic, you know?
It kind of fills you with kind of that warm sense of well-being, if that's a better term. Sorry, I'm dominating the conversation. No figure.
Do you want to talk about your business again?
Yeah. I don't. Want to talk about that now?
I do want to talk about other people's business.
Oh, cool.
When someone calls or walks in or makes an appointment, I mean, what... And it's their first time. Like, mm-hmm. what... I mean, how do you put them at ease? How do you make someone feel safe?
I throw them up against the wall and see if they... No, I'm kidding. No.
If they make it.
That would work for a lot of people, actually.
No, I
those are the ones that come back.
Right. We have, well, first they come in and they say that they're new or whatever and they haven't done this. I take them either in my office with me and Cyan so we can kind of explain some things. If they're interested in meeting girls, then we have this one room that looks very domesticated. There's no dungeon furniture in it whatsoever. And I'll sit there and talk to them a little bit. First of all, to kind of find out what it is they're looking for and see if we're on the same page. Sometimes they come to a place because they know there's girls there and we're trying to decipher, okay, you here for a private dance or are you here because you think you might get a hand job because we don't do those things here. Right. And then they're like, oh, no, that's not what I want. I'm kind of into dressing up like a woman. And they were just too scared to say it at first. So that's why I bring them back alone and just kind of talk to them. And then you know what? We have one of those rooms here. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's a lot of people that like that. And they're like, oh, okay. So I kind of start there. And then if they want to go to the next level, would you like to meet some of the ladies that specialize in this? And then we go from there. And I'll show them, I'll give them a tour of the whole facility and I'll show them the cross-dressing room. And
that sounds so like not scary at all, like very right. easy like, and non-
Oh
like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're going to Nordstrom.
Yeah, well, yes.
I mean, a personal shopper, right?
Absolutely.
And then the whole thing, I think the misconception is that we're mean, loud, scary people. And no, we play to your level. We talk about the different styles of domination. I've never been a loud or sadistic type of dominant. I'm actually a switch. I went, sub switch to mistress, and I really like playing both sides, so I'm a switch. And I can be extremely sadistic, but I still like to engage with them and let them know, I know you're a human being, I'm a human being. We're playing together. We're exchanging energy. So I can play at any level. Mm-hmm. If you're a new time person, well, I'm not going to bring out the electricity and start zapping you. If you're into cross-dressing, I'm not going to bring out my paddles and say, I'm going to, No, I play to all levels and all kinks, and not all kink has to do with being hit.
Yeah,
it's really it's about the mind and where you're at. And I learned that from Cyan. Cyan was one of my mentors, and I've learned a lot from watching how she engages with people. And I learned it's not so much about what you can do or even how you look. That's a very small part. It's about, are you going to engage with them, and are you going to care about them? Like, make them feel at ease and know they just want to know that you like playing with them. That's the first thing, really, about professional BDSM is they want to know somebody's on their level and understanding.
And gaining their trust.
Yes.
In the very beginning, by taking a few minutes to talk and explain, and listen to what their interests and their concerns, their limits are. Right. That's a big part.
Right.
Yeah.
And we talk about like the commonality between lifestyle and professional domination. And we're still playing on the level of safe, sane, and consensual also.
We were having that discussion today.
Yeah. We were talking about that today. Yeah. So we're still, there's a lot of things that go hand in hand with the lifestyle and with the professional. It's, we're still playing by the same rules, basically.
Yeah, well, I would assume that you would have to be, as professionals, fairly hyper-aware because there's liability then that comes into play.
Absolutely,
We're already, the truth of the matter is, legally, we're going to have a future episode, we're going to have an attorney on and a former LAPD officer to discuss BDSM in the law, but legally, you can't, what we do is battery.
Yes, absolutely.
If somebody wanted to come and say, this woman beat me, they could, because it's battery, and you can't be like, oh, but they consented to it, because you can't consent.
Right, you're absolutely. Yeah.
So for you as professionals, do those kinds of thoughts come to your mind? I mean, you're doing safe, sane, and consensual. Are you ever worried about these things?
No, because you know what? If we were in Idaho or Utah or some other smaller state, absolutely. But in L.A., there is... It's the same place where we advertise, you turn the page and there are escorts. And then there are people that do illegal, you know, happy ending massages that keep vice busy all day long.
Where they actually advertise it.
Yes.
I think it makes They're it very cute. Easy.
And vice has come to our place. They know about us. They knew about the former Passive Arts. They actually, is everything cool here? You guys okay? You know, and they know that we're on the up and up. And I tell my girls, vice comes in here, so I want to make sure that when you talk to any client that you let them know, here are our rules, and we don't do X, Y, and Z. There's no penetration. There's no bodily fluid exchange. That means semen. That means blood. That means urine. That means semen. And no penetration of any kind. No strap-ons. We don't play in toys. And so, and I generally know if it's vice. Sometimes they come in with two people, but I still take them in and I'm like, what can I do for you today? Well, we just kind of want to see what you guys are all about and what we do. And I answer all their questions and show them things. So they're usually fine with us.
That has to be comforting even for the clients.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're so above the radar with this. I mean, our landlord is fully aware. The neighboring businesses are aware. The fire department and actually the sheriff's department, when they yes. get a new officer, they actually bring them in for a tour.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And also, we put our address on the website, too. Okay. There's a lot of dungeons that don't advertise their website. So we have always, even at our private dungeon, this is our address. So we absolutely have nothing to hide. And there are a lot of people in the profession that don't want to do those things because we are not escorts. That's fine if you're an escort. I have nothing against people in this industry. But that is not what we do here. Mm-hmm. And we don't do massage. We don't have a license for it. When we get calls about golden showers, it's not that it's illegal, but you have to have,
It violates health codes.
Health codes.
Right.
So we don't do that. We really, actually, there's a lot of clientele that used to come to the other place, but they don't come here because we don't do those things.
Right.
You know, so.
And we're always fighting that.
Because
everything gets really convoluted, you know, and so we're always fighting, trying to explain what we offer,
yes.
what we don't offer.
Right. They're always looking for that secret little buzzword that lets them in or something. It's like, no, we don't do that. When I said that we didn't do it, yeah, no, that was like, no, we don't do that. Here are the rules right here.
Right. Like, because I said before, early when we got on, there's people have a great misconception of what, you know, prodoms do, what it
yes.
is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, there's always that belief that, you know, it's the same thing. You go get a massage, you go to pro. Well, yes. you know what happens at the end, right?
Right.
Everybody
right.
knows that. And it's like, well, I've gotten a lot of massages. That never happened.
So. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
actually frightened to get a massage because of that. I'm like, what if?
Go for the Asian lady that walks on your back. It's awesome.
I heard that.
Totally doing
I heard that. But yeah, I've heard like there's a lot of people in the lifestyle that have never stepped foot in a pro dungeon and they make comments like, well, they're prostitutes. And me and Sian are like, excuse me? Excuse me. You know, let me clear the air here. But no, and most doms, pro doms do not do those things.
Yeah.
You know, we are not prostitutes. They're like, well, you're taking money, so.
But not for sex, which is prostitution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they took my money at breakfast this morning, but all I got was breakfast.
So. Yeah, are you a prostitute?
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A waitress was clearly a prostitute.
Yes.
She gave a little sausage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
there was a lot of sausage.
Back, Cyan and I were talking about that very thing because there were some things written about our dungeon and what we do there, and this woman has never been here.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah.
I'm going to
run into that from time to time.
I have this selfishly, generally curious question. So we've been to Sanctuary Elix. It's a beautiful dungeon.
Thank you.
And I love all of the separate, there's so many different rooms in it.
Right. It's so fantastic. And furniture that we're like, what do you even do with that?
Okay. So in the very, but not, this is a total sidebar for my question. So in the very, very back room, they've got like this thing that's got like this hanging thing where you can like, it's got the noose. And I was like,
oh, it's a gallows.
Gallows, that's the word. Thank you. And I was like.
And it worked.
That's
we've
really
actually got the trap door.
In fact, Ashley's client made that for her and she gave it to us.
It's a really nice piece. It's beautiful. I mean,
it is beautiful.
I don't know any dungeon that has a gallows. It's, you know, it's kind of unique. But that's not my point. My point is that those are really awesome rooms, and I really like them. When you have clients come, are those the rooms that you use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. after the dom and the client decide, you know, what type of play they're going to do. If it's going to be impact play, they might use the back Hades room or the long whips and things like that can do it.
Where the gal
is. If it's going to be a foot worship session, maybe the domestic room or one of the room what we have called Hecate, it has a throne in it. So it kind of depends on what kind of scene it's going to be.
Okay.
And then they choose the room that's most appropriate.
Because they're really cool rooms.
Thank you. You know, it took a few years to get each room its personality. Yeah. You know, whenever you have a space, you have all this furniture because we had all of John's furniture plus what we were and just trying. I mean, and Ashley's been there from the beginning. I mean, it took some time for these rooms to come together and walk in and it all was like feng shui. You know what I mean? It really did. It took time. At first, it was just like the community just wanted us opened. So we were like at bare bones. You know, the walls were barely painted. We had, you know, just regular lighting. We didn't have any of the recessed lighting yet. They're like, no, this is cool. And we were like putting furniture, just, okay, we'll put that there for right now. And, you know, 2 years later, we're still kind of moving things. This would be better here, you know. So it took quite a time.
Kind of like your house.
Yes.
I rearranged my living room.
Yes.
I like where the TV is.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
That happens.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So, what happens, let's say somebody walks in and they want to play and you get a really crappy vibe from them, but it's not anything generally like unsafe.
Right.
They're not like, but you just feel.
Oh, we deal with that every day. Absolutely.
I'm an expert on crappy vibes. If you talk to anyone that knows me, I have all the crappy vibes that come my way. I'm an expert on problem children.
You attract
She's from
them.
New York.
I do, and I prefer them.
She's
Honestly.
From New York. She can handle it.
They end up being more interesting, you know, more willing.
Yeah.
I like that.
More pliable.
Yeah.
No, I mean, me and Cyan have talks with the girls all the time. It's like, listen, this isn't like lifestyle. Because a lot of girls will come here and work here. Oh, I really love playing in my life. I'm like, it's very different. You're going to meet some crappy dude who's not necessarily harmless, but he's icky. And so they come back, he's icky, I don't want to play with you. You're a professional. You know, if you want to make money, you're going to have to play with the icky people. I don't make any, we're not a pimp. But, I mean, this is what I try to explain what the difference is for these girls that really enjoy playing in their private life. That not all clients are going to give you that great feeling. If you want to make money, you're just going to have to put that aside and play with them anyway and make them think they are the most wonderful player you've ever played with.
Yeah. And the biggest difference, honestly, is in the lifestyle, you have all this time to get to know someone and discuss your limits and what you like and you don't like. And, you know, you don't have that option.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, in lifestyle, you're emailing, you're texting, you're FedLife, you're whatever. So there's a long vetting process.
You have 7 minutes in an interview.
Yes, that's short.
7 minutes.
But, I mean, Cyan has mentored me on how you cultivate this relationship with your client. And you can turn a client that's kind of like, ugh, into a very well-behaved client.
Yes.
Yeah. She's an expert on that.
Yeah, is that a secret you could teach everybody?
Yes.
It sounds like a class.
One thing is to listen.
Yes.
Okay. And there's ways of controlling the conversation and getting the information you want. And then there's a lot of guys that come in that are kind of unsure what they want, or they're a little embarrassed about it and stuff. And there's just ways of sitting, talking to them, getting to relax a little bit, explaining a little bit about some of the things that you do and that you don't do, and that you have limits and that you want to find out what their limits are. And it's also a matter of developing the ability to read body language, because someone's body will speak to you much more than their words will.
Yeah.
Especially once you start the scene. We take and do things like put them into a protocol, which would put them into certain positions like kneeling and stuff like that. And you take 2 minutes while you prepare your gear and get the whips out and things like that. And it's really hard for someone to feel dominant or anything else when they're in a kneeling or a prone position like that. So they start to get reinforced that submissive feeling to them. So that by the time you actually get them to kneel up, present their wrist, put the cuffs on, and put them on a cross or something, they're already kind of feeling that submissive mode. And then personally, what I do is I start off with floggers, but I also touch a lot. I use my hands on their back or their arms and stuff like that. And you can sense it. You can feel the relaxation of their body. If as you play, the sensations, they will start to get like goosebumps when you touch them and stuff like that, how they move towards you or away from you. Mm-hmm. So I really, over the years, don't depend on what they tell me. I put a lot more importance on what their body's telling me.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
I agree. We've discussed this before, that a lot of submissives think that safe wording is pushing out, and they refuse to do it.
Right.
And that's probably a greater issue, especially when it's somebody you don't know. It's easier for me to read somebody I'm playing with it when it's somebody I've been talking to in the dungeon, or it's a friend or whatever, or it's Nancy. But it's one of those things where if it's somebody you had 7 minutes, you're going to have to be very astute in reading their body language.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I started on the bottom, been invaluable for me, because it's a lot easier to read someone's body language when you've been there. So
yeah.
I really draw from that. It was the right thing to do for me. So it's made my job a lot easier. And, that's where the responsibility of the top comes in. Because, yes, they don't like to code for whatever reason. It makes them somehow less of a submissive or something.
Yeah, when I'm on the bottom, I don't like to code.
The other thing, too, is that in many cases, those endorphins start going. And it's really, I know in all the years I've done it, I think there's only been maybe one time somebody coded, and it was because, said red, because they were getting overheated. And they said red so we could stop the scene so they wouldn't pass out or something. But every other time, I've always stopped the scene, because the way I play, I'm very gradual, and it's just slowly taking a step up, maybe two steps up, one down. And they actually go much farther than they think they can go. So it's not so much in many cases that they're afraid to say it, or they're intimidated, or they're shy, or it's they haven't realized it. The endorphins are going. They're feeling really good. They haven't realized how much, or how long they played, or how far they've went. So it's our responsibility to do that. Most of our clients have girlfriends or wives or someone who's just really not, doesn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And this is not something that you just go out and do because you feel like doing it. It's something I think we're wired to have.
I agree.
And they come to us and depend on being able to play and not be marked. I mean, I teach how to use canes without leaving marks, without breaking skins. They can use a single tail without leaving a mark. I teach the girls these techniques and stuff so they can hurt the people that want to be hurt, but not harm them. They're not going to go out with broken skin or marks or cuts or blood or anything else on there. It's really important from the professional aspect to be able to do that. And to do it in a way where it's maybe the first time you're playing with someone, so you don't know if they mark easy or they can take a lot. So you really have to be aware. And like Ashley says, I think having started on the bottom, if you've been there, you know what to look for. I won't say that if someone hasn't never bottomed, that they couldn't be a good top, because I've had that debate many times. But I will say that anyone who has bottomed or started as a sub or something can be much better.
Yeah.
I agree.
I can respect that. I mean, I've only bottomed like twice, but the amount of data I got from it was like huge. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Why do you give me that look?
What? Look, I'm listening. It's my listening look.
It's not your listening.
It's my look of like, hey, yes, there are words coming out of your mouth and I'm hearing them and I'm actively listening. This is not fair. I'm never this outnumbered.
Well, she's a switch.
And I'm way over here.
So far.
And Cyan would have to go all the way around. We work smart, not hard.
Yes. Work smart.
So when do you still play like when it's not with clients?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Do you find that do you want to mark more then, or do you find that your professional skills kick in and you don't mark?
Oh, for me, My biggest complaint is that I don't leave marks. I actually have, I've had clients and people I've played with that will tell me they were so disappointed because they don't have little trophies or marks. It's like, well, tell me.
And, yeah, that's,
and,
yeah.
And there's a couple of people I've played with on a regular basis that on our Saturday night parties and stuff that I know do like the marks, so I leave them.
Yeah, yeah. They like to remember it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a couple of the girls at the dungeon that like to bottom. For me, and they usually have some nice little marks for a couple of days.
Nice.
Yeah, they're loving it.
Yeah.
Are there certain things that you do in your day-to-day professional that when you do end up playing normally, like not with a client, you just don't want to do? You're like, I just don't want to pick that. I don't want to pick up another flogger, or I don't want to cane. I mean, are there things that you just do so much that you don't want to do for a while?
For me, it's not, because when I do a scene with somebody, whether it's a client or someone that I just met or someone that I've played with, I'm going to do the scene I want to do, but it's going to be within their boundaries. It's going to be the interest. Yeah, actually, when I meet with a client, I will take and ask them a lot of questions, and I'll explain to them. The more they tell me, the more I have to work with, and I will put a scene together that's going to include a lot of the things that they like, but they won't know when. And they won't know how it's going. That's a lot of the intrigue. I'll also use blindfolds and things like that to restrict their senses to what they hear and what they feel. Okay, so they can take away the distractions. So when any scene that I do, it's not like, oh gosh, I don't want to do this, or I don't feel like doing this. If I don't feel like doing it, I just don't do it.
Yeah, and I think when I play personally, a lot of the pressure's off, because whoever I'm going to play with, I already know pretty well. I know their limits. I know what they're into. When you talk to someone for 7 minutes, it's very up in the air. You're still doing this exploratory mission, you know? So it's, you know, a lot more fun to play with somebody you know really well. And I get that with my clients too. I'll get to know them. We go on the journey also, and we get to that point. But, you know, it's a lot more fun for me to play with someone I know really well and that I'm comfortable with. So,
okay.
I never get bored.
Well, no, I mean, I've said this about the world. The moment you get bored, it's the moment you stop thinking.
Yeah.
Because you're only limited in BDSM to your own imagination.
Right.
I know for me, when I play in my private life, I'm boss during professional time. And when I do sessions, a lot of the times I'm either on top or even on the bottom. But I choose, when it's my private time, I just want to be beaten, because it relieves a lot of stress. And I don't have to have a talk with Cyan about what I want. Or like I play with Melissa. Ashley won't touch me. She's like, I'm not hitting you.
Friend zone.
Yeah, no. But Melissa, I don't even have to tell her. I'm like, she's like, okay, you need to play. And I don't care what we do. She can try out. Me and Melissa, just like me and Ashley, have been friends for a long time. She can do whatever the hell she wants to me. So I zone out, and that's exactly what I do. I just need to decompress, because I have a lot on my mind. So that's what I prefer to do when I'm actually on my own time, is just be, I'm a bottom, and I like corporal and all kinds of different play, just to
Oh, I'm sad for friends now.
I know.
Maybe you're going to rethink that.
No, it's too late. It's too late for us.
Ship sailed.
Yeah, that ship sailed.
She just won't do it. I'm like, I'm open.
Yeah, I can't. Go ahead.
She's like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't.
Is there anything you really want to do that you haven't been able to do yet with a client or with just a friend? Not a friend, because as we know, Ashley won't play with friends.
No.
Well, at least with acquaintances, people she barely knows. And
No. It's like sister friends, no.
I beat my sister.
Oh.
She's my older kind of sister. She used to beat me up, so I'd beat my sister, even though I love her.
That was non-consensual.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of one of those people that's ever evolving, and I want to go to the next step. My latest thing for the past year has been doing like a real spiritual cutting and then a hook suspension the same day.
Wow.
And I've talked to Cyan about that. That's like something I really want to do. And it won't be done at a party, won't have loud music. It's going to be like a small gathering of people because this is something that's going to be extremely difficult. But that's where I want to go.
Yeah, soon. I've heard hook suspensions are very intimate.
Yes.
And that it's incredibly cathartic.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I'm not ever doing it, but it sounds awesome to watch.
Yeah. I'm out too.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hard limit.
Right. Completely.
But,
and I had always a needle put in me and that's it. I'm done.
And I always told Cyan I'd do a brand for it because we're also lovers as well as I'm her slave. And I said, I want to do a brand for you. She goes, I don't want you to do that. I'm really not into that. But I was willing to do a brand and I was totally scared about it. But she's like, that's sweet, but no. I don't like the burning flesh. Because you can get a tattoo.
What about a tattoo?
Yeah. We've talked about for the past 8 years that we've been together, like our tattoos, and we just can't find that tattoo yet. Yeah.
It'll come.
I think, you know, those expressions of love for your mistress or master is incredible. And I wanted to do something like that and keep taking this pain. Because it's for me, but it's also for her. It's a growth and very personal and spiritual thing for me as well. Because I love the catharsis, the catharthism.
That's cool. That's close, hon.
That is. Thank you.
We make up words. It's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I like it.
Catharsis.
Look it up in the Kinctionary.
Yeah, the Kinctionary. Right, right.
So, I don't have anything I haven't done that I would like to do. I think mostly because I know Cyan, every single time I didn't know how to do something, somehow, some way, there was always a time when it would happen and she would say, hey, Ashley, come over here and stick this needle in here. And, and right as my like heart stopped and I started sweating, somehow she would get me through it and I'd go, yeah, that was fun. Let's not do that again. Just not into it. But she loves to hand me things that I don't like to use because she's a sadist. So
it's funny.
I think she likes to, I get the sense that she likes to grow people.
Yes. Well, and Ashley's a lot better than Ashley gives herself credit for.
We are always a lot better than we give ourselves credit for. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I swear she does it to watch us squirm. I think there's truth to that, too.
I found that out last week or the week before, because I usually bring one of them into my sessions and stuff and have them join. And the other day, one of them said, God, do you do that? Because every time the phone rings, we freeze, like, uh-oh. Which one?
Which one's going in?
Yeah. There's a wave of panic that hits the room. And it's nerve-wracking to go in with Cyan because her skill is always, you know, mesmerizing.
It is. It is.
And then she's got her own set of crazy toys. You know?
Crazy toys?
Well,
I want to see these crazy toys.
Crazy toys.
Everyday, like, toys, you know? So it can be interesting. And I don't know why. I've known her for years and years and years, and it's still, I still do it. I'm like, what? What do you mean I have to go in there?
I think we still feel like that girl that was like walking through the dungeons in her 6-inch stiletto. Cyan, this is the 10s, right? Okay. So we still feel like we're fumbling. And she's like, you have moved on, grasshopper. You have made it.
Is there supposed to be smoke coming out of this? No, we're way past that, but I think we still feel like
novices. I don't know which end this goes in.
Of course we know which end it goes in. Either.
But either one, doesn't matter. Yeah. But we supposed to cross the wires? Like, no. Oh, I forgot to ask. You have a pacemaker on?
Handy information to have.
Is that Viagra?
No, it's how many have you had?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's blue mostly tongue when they walk in.
Yeah. We see a lot of 80-year-olds, and I tell my girls when I train them and I tell them, okay, the first thing is the interview. And all of you who are going to be topping in a session and you've got older men coming in and they're into bondage, you need to ask them, how many Viagra have you had today? Not if you've had it, because they absolutely have and they'll take more than one.
Yeah, wow. It's so true.
It is, yes.
And you know, right, well, they think we don't know,
yeah.
Which is amazing. Because, yes. I mean, you know, an 80-year-old with a hard-on is something that happens
it's
every day.
It's pretty impressive, actually.
So we have no idea how that happened.
Wow. Yeah.
And it stayed that way the entire 2 hours. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's you are... working this.
That's impressive from a 40-year-old.
So, yeah, we teach them they
right?
need to.
Yes.
Yeah, and we teach them that they have to ask these help. Do you have diabetes? Are you taking blood thinners? Do you have a heart condition? Because yeah. it's all important because of the toys that we play with. We've got somebody with a pacemaker. No electroplay yeah. with the violet wand. And,
right.
You know, that's no.
Yeah. Besides, we're running out of room to bury the bodies.
Yeah, we are, yeah. really.
Yeah, but you're yes. really near the airport, so there's some construction
quite
going on
convenient.
Somewhere.
It is.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
convenient.
That's true.
So, no.
We should work on that.
So, yeah. I think that's a misnomer, too, that a lot of people don't really understand that a lot of people in the professional field in this industry have degrees. They've studied other things. We're really quite educated people, and... even if this is the only thing that you've done, there's been so many opportunities for classes like DomCon LA and Atlanta holds classes. We don't just go in here and start, you know, okay, you're going to have a session with me? Great. We are very thorough with who we're dealing with, mm-hmm. and we don't just pick up and implement. Most of us have been trained by someone, and we really try to get that out there with all the classes that are offered throughout even the community. That you don't just pick up and implement. You have to know how to use it. Even teaching simple things like spanking, you can hurt somebody really bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's teaching about the whole body and mm-hmm. where it's okay to hit. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. You have a question?
Yes. So DomCon.
Yes.
It's
coming
like
up.
This
well,
huge
man. Yes.
It's a huge. Yes. And I'm sure it's like, your baby, like how?
Cyan's baby. She welcomed me aboard and I help her do things.
How was that? I mean, did you ever think it would grow into what it is now?
Actually, no. When I first came up with it, it was because I was in a Yahoo group and I got booted out of it because I was a professional. And they said, well, this is for lifestyle only. And I was
you
like, well, I
both.
Am lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I said, well, no, but you're a pro. So I started thinking about, you know, trying to bring a better understanding of pro and lifestyle, bringing those two
chasms
communities
gather.
Together, basically. And when it started out, it was really, I thought it was just going to be a nice LA event. But within about 3 months, it became a national event. And, you know, by the end of the first or second year, it was an international event. Now it's the largest event of its kind in the world.
That's awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. you must be so proud. I mean, well, that's...
Yeah,
I'm proud to be a part of it, but I've had nothing to do with it. I didn't plan it. That was her and Mark and, you know, but that was her baby, and she's the one that can... I just help.
Yeah, just we just help. Show up and party.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, one of the really nice things that I couldn't begin to tell you how many people told me that it wouldn't work.
She thrives on that.
It was that you'll never get the pros and the lifestyle people together. You'll never get the pros coming. They're going to one-up each other. Nobody will want to share trade secrets or business. You're not going to get the leather community or fetish community coming in with the professional. And, you know, it all happened. The pros came in, did classes. They
volunteer their time.
And they realized that a lot of the lifestyle people were really much more talented and knowledgeable than maybe they thought they were.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle people realized that, you know, the professionals were lifestyle as well, mm-hmm. and that they were not all about attitude and money and clothes. After the very first DomCon LA, one of the things that made me really happy was seeing a lot of the chatter in a lot of the BDSM groups about people who were the nearsayers saying it wouldn't work. Going, well, I met these pros and they were really nice people and they were really genuine. and you know, and some of the, in the pro community, talking about seeing, learning some things from some of the lifestyle people that they didn't know what to, how to do.
Wow!
So it was really something that I felt was my way of contributing to bringing the two communities together. Because quite honestly, if you're not into the lifestyle, really, you won't succeed at doing it professionally. You have to like what you're doing and know what you're doing. If it's not something you like, you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, so, it's pretty edgy play if you're not enjoying it.
And yeah, we've had running professional dungeons. We've had people who are not lifestyle coming in, and they don't last. It's mm-hmm. not something that pushes their button. Mm-hmm. It's not what they thought it was going to be. They think it's going to be come in and make all this lots of money and be a lot of fun, but if they don't enjoy it, they're
not going to make it.
Not going to understand it either.
And it's a different economy now too. And if they're not satisfied with you, they're going to go to somebody they know is having a good time. But,
well, yeah. But now with DomCon, I mean, this last DomCon, we had people from Australia, from Germany,
Japan,
from Belgium, Japan, Great Britain, wow. Mexico City, you know, all over the world.
That's amazing.
Turkey. Italy, Iran.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, Iran?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. Persians, love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a soft spot for Persians. We're running out of time, but real quick, I want to talk about, there are lots of things that happen at Sanctuary LAX. Is Sanctuary Reseda still around?
It's actually changed. When I got LAX, I actually gave the dungeon to another dom.
Okay.
And she's renamed it to Iron Gate.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the dungeon is still there. The location is still there. It's just she was talking to me about staying on as part, but LAX has been a much bigger responsibility and time-consuming and
huge
and energy than I ever thought it was going to be. So I couldn't really do both of them. So, you know, I pretty much gave that to her. And they changed the name, and now we've got our 7,000-foot dungeon to take care of over here in LA.
Yeah. So what kind of events do you have there? I mean, you have play parties and mm-hmm. things.
Well, we do. We have a couple of different things. We have an educational series that we bring in probably anywhere from 8 to 15 workshops a month, doing anything from basic understanding of BDSM to edge play to rope bondage, fitness things. Like, we have a class that's Tai Chi that works on, you know, mind body coordination. And then we have our weekend parties, which are different themed. We have a Rapture and Club Anarchy, Club
different
Pangea.
Promoters each week.
Yeah. Okay. Like Pangea is really geared towards the alternative lifestyle of drag queens, drag kings, performances on stage. Mm-hmm. Anarchy is a very edgy type of event with the stage things. Rapture is kind of a cabaret almost.
Yeah.
But so there's things going on because we have a 16 by 16 foot stage, mm-hmm. as you're aware. And but some of the people come for the entertainment and to watch the BDSM scenes on stage or the shows. And then there's other people in all the rooms that are doing their own scenes.
Yeah.
And so we have those play parties. And we have our, during the day, where we do our professional sessions. And then twice a month, we do a professional party, which happens to be going on tonight, called Submit. And that's where the clients come in. They just pay $150 from 7 to 10. And they play with like 12 of the doms, switches, and subs, and it's
that
all
sounds like a deal.
Open. The girls double team and triple team them, and the clients get the chance to play, try different things and stuff. So we've got quite a variety, and actually we're getting ready to launch something in the next couple of weeks.
This is exciting.
And this is actually probably the first public thing, but we're working with kink.com,
okay.
and we're going to be doing live webcam shows from Sanctuary LAX.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's big.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're really excited.
But definitely we'll look forward to seeing that. I assume there'll be announcements on FET or...
Between our publicist and their marketing department up there, there'll be a whole series of press releases and stuff that'll be coming
out
in a few weeks.
That'd be great.
I hit my head on your microphone.
It happens all the time. Well, we are like 10 seconds left. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I hope we answered your question.
It was, yes.
I mean, we're a bunch of in control woman, and we kind of are like herding cats ourselves. So
I taking over the conversation.
Taking over the conversations and whatnot. I don't know. But I hope we educated some people out there and were able to answer your questions.
I'm sure it was a pleasure to have all of
you.
So nice.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It was fun.
Yeah. Come visit us.
We have people next week. BDSM and the Law. BDSM and the Law is next week.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to be on that show? You might know that person.
You might. I don't know what name he wants to go by, but...
I bet we know him. Probably. DomCon. Yeah.
But that's us. We're Intellectual Kink. Do you want to give your... I'm Insidious Muse everywhere.
And I'm Service Slut everywhere.
Do you want to have people... If you want your Twitter or your whatever.
Yeah, I'm Goddess Genesis. I have a Twitter account under Goddess Genesis, FetLife Goddess Genesis, and my own website, goddessgenesis.com. And then, of course, on Sanctuary LEX, you can see me as Goddess Genesis.
I'm Mistress Cyan. It's the same thing, Twitter, FetLife, Gmail, and wherever you go, Mistress Cyan.
Just make it easy.
You can come visit me at ashleyrains.com. That's R-E-I-G-N-S. Not to be confused with thunderstorms.
Right.
stop by and say hi. And there's always Sanctuary, and I'm there 3 days a week, so you can't miss me. So come on in, and let's get to know each other.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yay. Thank you.